Welcome to the River of Calms Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, pianist Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And on our Beyond the Music podcast, we give you a closer look at the artists who are on the River of Calm. And today in the studio, we're lucky to have guitarist and composer Lance Allen. Lance, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Ed. Oh, glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. We know you're a busy guy and you've got so many fans and all that. We're just glad to give them an inside look at what it's like to be Lance. So let's get started with some background. Tell me, Lance, how did you get started in the music business?
Well, I went to Middle Tennessee State University, and there I learned how to record music. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I got to do a lot of sessions for my comrades and co-students in the music recording side of things. So I actually got the dream there that I wanted to be a session musician in Nashville.
Jeez.
And that was a hard job to kind of get into. Never really got into it, but I was good enough obviously at the time and well practiced, but I actually after college took a job at a music store, just basically selling musical equipment, and eventually turned into a music teaching job where I taught guitar for, I think, about 8 years there at the music store.
Wow. No kidding. And by the way, MTSU, what a great music department they have there.
Right. Yeah. The recording program was a lot of fun. So.
Right. No kidding. One of our artists on here, Joseph Akins, is a teacher there, professor there. Now, but let's back up. But even before that, when you were a young Lance, you know,
gotcha.
Were you a hellion? Were you a nice kid? And what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what I wanted to be when I grew up. I had a family that was split apart. My mom and dad divorced early on in my younger years, probably six or so. And I got to stay with my dad every other weekend with him. Mm-hmm. And he was the guitar player. And I'll always remember his nylon acoustic string guitar hanging up on the wall. And when I would stay with him on the weekends, we'd get that thing down and I'd just sort of play it while it laid on the bed.
Wow.
I had no idea what I was doing, but I'd strum the strings and stuff. And I still have that guitar today. And I lost my dad in 2010, but I still, you know, he's the one that got me into it, basically.
Wow. And what an iconic instrument to have. Do you ever play it out on a show or is it strictly for home?
It just stays at home. I actually record with it from here and there. And it's just a nylon string. It's nothing real special.
Uh-huh.
And other than it was my dad's, yeah.
And what was your dad's name?
Dan Allen.
Dan
Allen. I'm from Western Kentucky, so Hopkinsville, Kentucky is where I kind of got going with it.
No kidding. Well, here's to Dan Allen for him and his nylon string guitar. And the influence he passed on to you. And here's to your mom, too. Let's not forget her in this.
Yeah.
So that was your first influence, I would guess, in music.
Yeah.
What other musical influences did you have?
Well, not long after mom and dad divorced, like 5 years later, mom met another man named Mike. Mm-hmm. And Mike was a pretty influential part in my love for different kinds of music. So he introduced me to artists like James Taylor, Paul Simon, and Leo Kottke. I never heard of Leo Kottke before before he introduced it to me. And he was a member of a CD club at the time. So he's like, choose some stuff. And I'd pick some guitar related acoustic guitar stuff because I was always around the acoustic guitar. And he got me into that. And we eventually moved to Ohio and I took lessons there from a guy named Jimmy Feltz. And he got me into the finger picking style of guitar.
Nice.
And that's kind of where that started.
No kidding. Wow. So your stepfather was an influence to you also.
Right. And he wasn't really a musician, but someone that enjoyed music and appreciated it. He had a big old record collection and tons of CDs.
No kidding. So you're going to school. Yeah. I mean, did you take lessons or how did you develop?
Yeah, I took lessons from Jimmy. And before that, my dad's best friend, Randall, gave me guitar lessons on the weekend. And I learned stuff like Nirvana and Metallica, that sort of thing that was cool when I first started playing guitar. And in fact, we'd pay him $5 for an hour of lessons back in the early 90s. And sometimes we'd give him a six pack of beer for an hour's worth of lessons, and he, you know, start those beers, you know.
And that comes with the complimentary Freebird, right?
Right. Wow. Yeah. And I think I learned Freebird much later, which is odd, but I do remember learning Sweet Home Alabama with him. And maybe The House of the Rising Sun was probably one of the first songs I learned on the guitar.
No kidding. Now, was practice ever an issue for you? Did you hate it? Love it? Did you want to take lessons?
So I had a friend at the time when I first started guitar lessons, and we sort of had a little competitive thing going with each other, and I wanted to be better than him. He wanted to be better than me. So practice wasn't really an issue. Mm-hmm. I was always trying to learn something different. And this was before the internet and tablatures or YouTube or any of that sort of thing. So all I had was to rely on was my guitar teacher and maybe a VHS or something that I could rent or buy from a music store, or tablatures in a guitar player magazine. That's about all I had to learn from.
No kidding. And then to grow up and then to go to MTSU and then to want to be a session player in Nashville. That's a pretty big order.
Yeah. And after MTSU, I taught guitar for many years as a career, and I still teach guitar today. Mm-hmm. And I left the music store after about, I think, 9 years. And I was starting to teach guitar through Skype lessons. Mm-hmm. I was using YouTube as a way to reach out to potential clients. I would teach a little bit of a song that people know that had maybe some acoustic guitar lick in it that was difficult or tricky to learn. And I'd learn it note for note and put the video out there, and people would want to learn the rest of the song. And I'd offer them Skype lessons. And now I've taught in all 50 states and probably 20 different countries and have friends all over the place.
No kidding. Guitar. You're pretty popular at that from what I know. Is your handle Guitar Lancer? Is that it? Or
that's right.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. You've got a following on that for sure. You have a following everywhere. We're going to get to that. But so after the music gig, you're working at the music store, you stepped out, and then what did you do?
I actually opened my own lesson studio and taught more lessons there. And during all this time working at the music store, I was inspired by guitarists Tommy Emmanuel and Phil Keggy to basically record one of my own albums. So I think about 2006, I recorded my first CD called Sometimes in Life.
Nice.
And it was just a collection of little things that I noodled around on. Mm-hmm. And I basically recorded them in the studio live. I didn't do any overdubbing or anything like that.
Right.
So that's where it started. And I ordered like 2,000 CDs. I was hopeful I'd sell all of them.
Right.
But I still got them in the garage. You know, not all 2,000, but I still have some.
No.
And I decided to do another album called Naturally in about 2008. Mm-hmm. It was probably around that time too that I heard on Lightning 100 here in Nashville, a gentleman was interviewing Tim Westergren about Pandora Radio. Mm-hmm. And it was like the next day that I sent my CDs to Pandora so that they could be on the Pandora radio station. And that sort of started my streaming success story from there.
And you do have a streaming success story. What are the numbers right now?
Well, I'm probably getting about 80,000 monthly listeners on Pandora, 45,000 streams on Apple. And on Spotify, I have more than 500,000 monthly listeners to the tune of 3 million streams a month.
You're such a slacker, I tell you. That is incredible. Oh my gosh. Did you ever think that would happen?
I had no idea. I mean, in fact, I was skeptical about sending my music to Pandora because I'm like, I'll probably never get paid anything for this. And but it's an avenue for me to get my music heard, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. You're, again, one of the most popular artists I've seen out there. You know, for River of Calm numbers, you know, we have some many, many gifted artists, but you seem to be spot on, man, and driven. You have an entrepreneurial spirit, or is it a music spirit, or both?
I think it's both. Mm-hmm. As a musician, I create goals and set goals for myself, and I don't just put them in my head. I write them on a piece of paper with a Sharpie, and I tape it over my computer in my office space where I teach lessons. Mm-hmm. And I try to accomplish those goals within a month term. And sometimes I'll even set longer goals and I keep track of data and look at the data all the time to see what's working for me and what's not working.
Mm-hmm. That's so important, isn't it? To be attentive to your goals. I'm the same way. My goals are in a vision board, and don't laugh, but they're in my shower. So I see them every morning.
See them every day.
Yeah, absolutely. So good on that. To me, here's a big thing I've been wondering about you, Lance. You have the numbers, you're going, you're on the ball, you're on target, but do you ever have moments of self-doubt? And
absolutely, yeah.
No, so on a scale, on a scale, let's say of 1 to 10, 10 being you can rule the world, 1 being you're face down in a gallon of ice cream, where are you?
I'd probably put myself right in there as the average, you know. I feel like every time I release a song, it's got potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've been doing in the last year, is releasing singles.
Oh, really?
And that's part of my strategy to succeed with that on Spotify.
Mm.
But not every song gets picked. And then I put my head down and I'm like, why did it not get picked? I did everything that I did for one song, you know, that it they right. got picked for something last time to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that are listening, like what I mean by that is if you're getting picked, meaning placed on big playlist in Spotify, and that's kind of where the success comes from, is being sort of involved in these major playlists.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point on that. So do you feel rejection?
Oh, occasionally, mm-hmm. but I still am in the playlist, and you know, I still got this sort of monthly income coming in. So mm-hmm. I keep going because I know my monthly followers are growing.
Nice.
And every time I release a song, all those people get wind of it and they get it in their own playlist called Release Radar.
Uh-huh.
And that's cool. And nice. Everything I've been doing has kind of been Spotify right now. I've tried to figure some things out with Pandora, and I've got like an ad running that sends people to my Apple Music, which is actually working quite well right now. So I spend $1 a day on my Apple ads, and I get probably 300 clicks a month. So I don't know how many of those people are listening to my music, but they're clicking on the advertisement and it takes them to Apple Music. So,
wow. So if let's say some of our listeners to this podcast are going to be artists, what would you suggest their strategy be in a broad stroke?
Well, just create some quality content that sounds similar or maybe in the same vein of what playlist you might be going after.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be a good thing. Like for many of the piano players out there, you'd probably want to listen to Peaceful Piano or something of that nature and try to create something in the style of.
Mm-hmm.
And even if there's like pedal thumps or sounds, try to just include those. You don't have to have a clean recording always, but just think about all the details, key signature. And
yeah, I know of a recording artist for pianos. He puts a microphone at the pedal to get the thump because he really feels it's authentic.
Oh, but that's interesting.
Yeah, but that's another story. Now, with that advice, take us to your writing and your, what is your writing process? How do you do this? Does it come out magically? Do you have to, you know, have snippets here or there? How does it work?
Well, when I write, something usually comes to mind from just tinkering on the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've discovered a new chord voicing to me that sounds good, or possibly an alternate tuning on the guitar that I enjoy, that maybe it'll allow new chord voicings.
Mm-hmm.
And if I like a chord voicing, then I kind of learn the scale built around that chord. That way I can find a melody. I was always told that melody is going to be really important in songs that you release, because especially in instrumental, if they're kind of ethereal or whatever, nobody's really going to remember something that's just kind of noise in the background. But if you've got a strong melody, then people will come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know, my thought process on that.
Oh, I appreciate that. Now, how many songs or how many CDs do you have out right now as of today?
I think 5 albums. And then from my latest album, which was called String Poet, I started a relationship with a violinist named Avery Bright, and we've released a Christmas album, and we actually recorded, we also made a vinyl out of it, which was pretty incredible.
Old school. Love that. Wow. Yeah.
And we've also released singles as a band, and I'm still releasing singles. So I could put some of those singles and make another album of cover songs.
Nice.
Or I also did a single, or I did an EP of Christmas music.
Nice.
Another EP of peaceful guitar tracks, but those are being released as singles.
Right, as your strategy is. Wow. And by the way, Avery, you guys were on the River of Calm live streaming broadcast. And what a great act. What a great response we had to your show, by the way, too. So you and Avery have something special there for sure.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No problem on that. And would you say writing for you, do you have to focus on it daily or does it just come when it comes?
Yeah, usually I'll think, when I think of something, I'll play it often and my wife will be like, are you still playing that? You're driving us crazy around here. So I'll end up playing something a lot throughout 1 week. And then, maybe if it's a one part, I might have to create another part, you know, and I keep my songs relatively pretty simple. So I either have two or three parts and, usually the second part of part one, I guess if I made like an A, the second time I'd play A, I'd do it a little differently than the first time just to keep the interest perked up.
Right.
That's just my style of writing. I kind of write my songs in a, like a pop song in a way.
Okay.
So, A, B.
Got it. And then you're a father, you've got a couple of small kids. Does that affect your writing process?
Well, sometimes they inspire me and, you know, they inspire titles to my songs, obviously, because I have a lot of these instrumental tracks and a lot of times they don't have lyrics to it. So maybe my older son is given a couple of titles to my songs and, my little son, I wrote a song for him called Song for Lucas and Ezra's Groove. And I did one for my older son called LJ's Groove, cause that's his initials.
Nice.
And I played for both of them in the hospital. Right after they were born, I had my guitar there and I was there to play music for them. And the people at the hospital never forgot that. So I met a lady just the other day that was like, you were that guy that played the guitar for the baby, right? And I was like, yeah, that was me. So
very cool. I wonder how that influence will soak in and come out later in life.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We shall see. My older son's doing piano lessons and he's really enjoying that. So,
they're good. I'm glad he's going to be a part or enjoying it and finding his own way. Now tell me, out of all the songs you've written and you have a large catalog here, what is your absolute favorite song? If you can pick one.
I think one of my favorite songs is Just Thoughts. And it was actually on my first CD. And it was written around the time I met my future wife.
Wow.
And there's also a little story behind this song as well. There's a famous country artist named Chris Young. And I actually played guitar with Chris when he was a teenager. And we actually wrote words to that. And they were meaningful. And this was a song that I wrote for my future wife. And she became my wife. And I just love the song and I love to play it.
Nice. And what's your wife's name?
Twyla.
Twyla?
That's right.
Beautiful. Well, why don't we take a listen to Lance Allen's favorite song? And here is Just Thoughts. Thank you. beautiful. And was Twyla happy with Just Thoughts?
Always has been.
Excellent. Nice. It sounds like you're a family guy. You really are.
That's right. Cool. I'm really fortunate to have the success with the streaming revenue, and I don't have to tour or be gone so much. I can be at home and take care of the kids and the wife and the family. And
nice. And did you ever think it would work out that way? Or did you think you would have to be out on the road to be a guitar player for a living?
Early on, I probably did. But once I first learned that I can make a decent living teaching guitar, I knew I could have some stability and stay in one location.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And with the number of students you have right now, is it limited? I assume that you have a lot that want to be taught by you.
Yeah. Over the years, when I was a full-time teacher, I would carry probably 40 to 50 students a week at half-hour lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, I'm probably in the 15 to 20 range.
Okay. Well, that's still a lot to do. Plus, manage your own career, manage the marketing of your own career, be a dad, et cetera. So I think you're doing okay. Again, you're not a slacker. That's for sure. Now, where can we find your music? Tell us the places where a consumer can find Lance Allen music.
Well, you could certainly pick any of the most popular streaming services like Spotify, Apple, or Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably get my CDs off of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
If someone would want the vinyl of our Christmas music, you'd have to go to allenandbright.co.
Mm-hmm.
And my website is guitarlancer.com, but it's basically just a artist site. I don't think I sell anything on there just yet other than tablatures to my music.
Mm-hmm.
And my lesson studio site is lanceallenstudio.com.
Nice. So you've got a lot of, do you do the domains yourself or do you have somebody?
I do.
Yeah.
I created the lesson website.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to making that successful was having correct SEO, which is search engine optimization, so that people could find me.
Right.
And then I joined the Grammys a couple of years ago, the Grammy Association, so that I could submit my music. And I had to have a nicer looking website. So I just got a Squarespace, and my wife is a photographer. So I got really great pictures to put on the Squarespace. So
we love Twyla.
I just went with that.
Nice. Wow. So with all this, I mean, this, the CDs, the teaching, all the music you've done, is if you had to sit back and say, wow, I'm really proud of this one thing, what would it be?
Well, I thought about that, and I've been thinking about that lately, and give me a moment to think here.
No problem on that. It's not your coffee business, right? Or your love of coffee, that is.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the most, I guess, special things is actually seeing my music succeed on Spotify. After one initial push, I decided I wanted to do anything possible to succeed on this platform because I was seeing lots of songwriters and other artists complain about Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And after about a year of hard work, year and a half of meeting people and talking to people, connecting with LinkedIn and all that, I was able to grow my music further than I've ever would have imagined. And I ended up making more money than teaching guitar full time.
Wow.
Just from streaming revenue. So that's pretty amazing that I did that. And I'm grateful for all of that that has been going on in the last couple of years.
That is something to be definitely proud of. I mean, a lot of people look up to you for being able to do that. A lot of artists. So congratulations. And, tip of the coffee cup to you for sure on that.
Yeah, just don't spill your coffee.
Amen on that. Tell me one thing. What is the one thing that people don't know about Lance Allen? I mean, they know you as the guitar Lancer, you know, the successful guitarist, the guy that's out there on top of things. What's the real secret? What don't they know about you?
Well, one thing is they really don't know my love of coffee, but I think one thing is that I'm a Christian and I believe in God, and I pray a lot, and I pray for my friends, and I pray for all these people that I meet that ask me to pray for them. And I really feel like my life has kind of been designed in a path that God wanted me to take. So
nice.
Hopefully I'm being responsible and taking care of it the way it's intended. So not a lot of people know that about me, that I'm a Christian and I'm involved in church. And
right. So you're obviously faith is important to you, but also I hear from our conversation, goal setting is important to you also.
Goal setting. Yeah.
So maybe the absolutely two combined and plus natural talent, you know, have helped right bring you to the success you've had. I want to circle back to one thing you were talking about when you're sitting down with a chord and you're trying to develop the melody out of it. You said your teacher said, he said something specific to you about finding the melody. You mentioned it before, but I think we had an audio glitch and I didn't hear the key word.
I think it was just understanding where the melody is around the chord.
Mm-hmm.
So if I know a chord voicing, I need to understand where all the major scale notes are around that.
Ah.
And that's where I would discover a lot of the melody to a song or something that I would be creating.
Okay. That makes sense.
I think I was saying too, that having melody is going to have, especially since I'm an instrumentalist,
mm-hmm,
someone that's hearing it would more likely remember it, mm-hmm, if it's a melody versus something being ethereal or just kind of spacey.
Right. And since you're an instrumentalist, do you feel that your emotion comes through in your playing? Do you feel like you're an emotional person?
I feel like in some of my songs, you can hear my emotions, mm-hmm, as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of them would be Raining Slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And a quick story behind that one, I recorded it in my living room, mm-hmm, on my dad's classical guitar that I mentioned earlier. And it was one take of 2.5 minute song of just an idea that I had. In fact, I improvised some of it. And I distributed it on a Tuesday and it got to Spotify on a Thursday and it took off from there. I actually looked at the data probably around noon that day and I had like 6,000 streams on it on the first day. And I was like, why am I getting 6,000 streams? And then I got a Facebook message from another friend that said, "Hey, congratulations, your song is on Peaceful Guitar Playlist." I was like, oh, that's it.
Nice. So
there you have it. 1 hour's of work is earned an income for me.
And that's called Raining Slowly, correct?
Yeah.
Well,
that's correct.
I think you'll be able to hear that when we wrap up this podcast today. So I'm glad you brought that up. And definitely that's On the River of Calm as well as Just Thoughts too. Now, as we wind up here, if you had one musical wish for you, Lance Allen, or for the world, what would that be?
Well, I don't ever desire fame or anything like that,
mm-hmm,
but I guess I would love to more than double kind of what I'm doing,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I would honestly love to see my kids benefit from everything that I've done. And I imagine they will.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan. Mm-hmm. So that'd probably be the best wish for me, is just that my kids would be taken care of as a result of what I've done with music.
Well, knowing what I know of you, from you, us getting to know each other, you being on the River of Calm live stream, knowing you as an artist and a person, I have no doubt that you're focused on that. And that's going to happen, taking care of your kids and your family. So congratulations on that. I really mean that. With that, Tim Ferriss also on his podcast asks this question, which I think is very unique. If you had a billboard that we would put across the country for Lance Allen to put up his message, what is that message? What does it say?
I think it would just say, "Listen."
Nice. Nice. That's profound.
Simply put, right?
That's pretty darn good. Wow. Well, there you have it. Here it is, our behind-the-scenes look at guitarist and composer Lance Allen on the River of Calms Beyond the Music podcast. Now, make sure you listen. The music is Raining Slowly. I'm your host, pianist Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. May the calm be with you.